This is Pulse 95. You're listening to the Morning Majlis podcast.
Join the conversation with the Morning Majlis. Pulse 95.
Join the conversation with the Morning Majlis. And yes, an exciting time that we've witnessed here in the UAE because the Sharjah Children's Reading Festival is ongoing. We had a great conversation surrounding the world of libraries and the role they play for the children to enrich their education and learning, and to learn a little bit more about that. And of course, about lowriders of space. We've got the author here with us, Kathy Camper, and Raul Gonzalez, who the illustrator as well, has worked on this project. A very good morning to you guys, and thank you for joining us here on the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Very exciting.
We're really looking forward to this conversation because this is an exciting one. Because Louis was your the moderator for that discussion that you had. Lowriders in Space novel has been doing quite well. And can you talk to us in greater detail about what about the Lowriders in Space novel and how you guys came together to work on this?
So I was working as a librarian in the United States, and there's a great increase in Spanish-speaking children, and I didn't see the books that met their needs. So I started daydreaming up this idea, and Raul and I didn't really know each other. He lived in Boston, and I live in Portland, Oregon, so we're on the other ends of the country. But I emailed him, and he read the text and said, "That's the book I wished I'd had as a kid," and right away jumped in and started drawing art. So it was a project that came from our heart. Mm. We both wanted kids to be able to see themselves. And we started out, we didn't have a publisher, we didn't have a literary agent, but we thought, we have nothing to lose. So, and I wanted to say that for all the creative people out there, that you don't get the book deal or the movie deal right from the start.
And touching on that a little bit more, would you say that the passion is a big part of your creative process, because you realized that you were both so passionate about this idea, and that kind of led to the growth of it, you could say?
Definitely.
Absolutely. And especially getting the email from Kathy asking me if I would be interested in collaborating, it brought back all of the inspiration that I had wanting to become a comic book artist, a book illustrator, right to the forefront. And immediately, almost a few hours later, I was sending Kathy Camper illustrations that would then later become the characters that we now see in the Lowriders in Space series. And we've been working now, we were just talking about it on the elevator on the way up here, for the past 15 years. And we have 4 Lowrider books out, which is over, I would say, close to 500 pages. And we're right about to start what will be the 5th book in the series. So all of that passion, all of that inspiration has led us to create this very interesting comic book universe.
And this is interesting.
Yeah. I wanted to jump in and say I'm Lebanese-American. My father's side is Lebanese. So I'm writing about a culture that's not mine. So I work extra hard to be respectful. Mm. And it's Raul does the art, but he's not. It's not on him to fact check me. But I also, in our most recent Lowriders, I realized, well, I'm kind of not in these books, so I added a bunch about how Latino culture and Arab culture overlap, and that's in Lowriders to the Rescue. Mm. And I found all these wonderful things, like in the language, there's words like azúcar and sukar and sugar, and that comes from ancient Arabic.
Right.
Also, the tile work in Mexico comes from the Moorish tile work in Spain, and even names like Hernandez and Gonzalez, the EZ, is from from Arab. Mm-hmm. And in my books, they also compare food. They eat hummus and they eat refritos, and they're like, they're both mashed up beans.
Oh, wow. I want to go back to the collaboration process between the two of you. Of course, each one of you, you guys come from a different background, and you guys have different styles, I'm pretty sure, and different views on a lot of things in life. So take us through the collaboration process, how it worked out, Are there any types of hurdles or bumps on the road that you guys had to overcome when collaborating? And how did you guys unify your thoughts in one work?
Well, one thing that Kathy and I were also discussing on the way up here is how similar we are. We have very similar senses of humor, things that we both find hilarious. And I think just the fact that we immediately got along and made each other laugh was the first step in our very successful collaboration.
Yeah, and I also want to say, you know, inshallah, it's like there was a luck thing that we both are sort of awed by that we met, and we also both have the same work ethic, which is huge. So we both, you know, value meeting deadlines and understand when somebody says you need to do this over, that you have to, you know, whereas I've worked with artists where they just fall apart and can't do that. And the sense of humor, I think also our ethical sense and going for a larger, you know, we're not just like, let's make a bunch of money. It was like, we want kids to see themselves. Mm. And that has been hugely gratifying for me, both Latino and Arab people emailing me or coming up with tears in their eyes saying, this is our story. And I opened this book and I didn't expect to read my story. And I think Raul has also had that.
Yeah, and even we even search for ways to make the artwork very relatable to kids. You know, often you could enter a museum or you could view artwork in a book, and you think to yourself, if you're an aspiring creator, I don't have the materials to make this work. How would it even be possible for me to make something like this?
And so, or to have to go to art school.
And so one of the things that we realized is that there's a lot of fan art out there, and a lot of that fan art is made using materials that are easily accessible to people. And for me as a kid, I really loved this magazine called Lowrider Magazine, and the artwork in that magazine was used, the fan art in that magazine was created with ballpoint pens. Wow. And so each and every page of the four volumes of Lowriders in Space is illustrated using black, red, and black ballpoint pens. Mm. And it's to show our readers that they don't need the fancy stuff to create their works of art, that they already have the materials available to them on their desk, whether it's a sheet of paper, a pencil, a paper bag, or a ballpoint pen.
Simplicity at its best, isn't it? And I like the character that you've chosen as well. Lupin Parla, El Chaufa Flapjack, as well as Illyrio Malaria. That's an interesting name for the characters.
Yeah. Can you guess what kind of animal he would be with that name?
Well, mosquito, for sure. We've got a mosquito situation here in the UAE, of course. Now, I'd like to know a little bit more about the fifth of the series that you're looking at, because we know that the fourth book was more into the world of climate change. And if you can talk to us a little bit about what to expect from the fifth book, and are we going to see some new characters being introduced this time around?
Well, the new books are going to be picture books. They're going to be for a little bit of younger audience. Okay. And part of that is just because we're both doing other books now. Yeah. When we started out, this was our main concentration.
Yeah, we're really interested. So these books are for readers 7 and up. And we really wanted to have books that would be we wanted the Lowrider series to be introduced to much younger readers. And so we thought a perfect way to introduce books to the Lowrider universe to younger readers was to create a picture book series. Mm-hmm. And so this picture book series, the stories are going to be much simpler. They're going to be much shorter. The images are going to be much bigger because the picture books, for the most part, they're bigger in format. Mm-hmm. And so we're really excited to open the world of Lowriders to a much younger base.
I have a question. Do your listeners know what Lowriders are? Maybe I should quickly explain.
I don't think I do.
Okay. So in Latinx culture back before World War II, it was kind of, in America, it's split. There was people that were into hot rods where they wanted cars to go fast. But Latino culture wanted cruising, low and slow. Mm. So they would drop the cars real low to the curb, but the cops would always arrest them. That was a great racist thing to, you know, to... And they would drop the cars by putting sandbags in. And if you saw that red light blinking, it's pretty hard to jettison the sandbags. So they went to decommissioned airline companies from World War II, the planes, and they got hydraulics. So they put hydraulics on all four wheels so your car can go up and down.
Wow,
and then they
okay.
have switches, usually by the driver's seat, to be able to jack the car up and down. And if you're really talented, you can make the car hop. So the cars seem animated. And of course, there's all kinds of videos online. And there's a lot of competitions as to who can hop them the best. But then the parallel thing was they decorate the cars. And people think thousands of dollars. They pinstripe them, they do murals on them, and they have a wonderful sense of humor. Like some cars will have five rearview mirrors, or and those cars, they often don't even drive because they become so precious. So we wanted to capture all that, and I was talking to someone here who said that there's a huge car culture in the UAE and Dubai. So I think that there's that love of cars and that, you know, invest your creativity in cars that people could relate to.
Now, Kathy and Raul, we'd like to talk about technology and its emergence and almost and its incorporation almost everything in our lives. And we're so dependent on technology, all of us, all ages and all cultures. Let's talk about technology and books and reading. Is it really affecting our children when it comes to their keenness on holding a book and starting to read it and wanting to read a real physical book? Or is it just now, khalas, technology? It's a double-edged sword for sure. Is technology taking away our children, you know, with them now looking at using their iPads, or even their schooling nowadays is through a computer sometimes if they're online. Do you feel like technology has been beneficial or not when it comes to the love of reading for children especially?
Well, as a librarian, I'm right there with you. It's obviously useful, but I think the problem is that who decides what comes into our lives? Mm-hmm. Like, it's done on a commercial and a corporate and also like an engineering. So suddenly we have something like TikTok or Facebook, and it's like we're given this architecture, but we don't have much choice in it. So one of the things I was thinking of is, what was that old social media format, MySpace?
Mm-hmm. MySpace,
yeah. Used to get a room, but what I thought was, remember you used to decorate your room?
That's true.
And that, and then Facebook, I remember that change. Facebook has this generic kind of square, gray-blue look, and that reflects Mark Zuckerberg's choice, but suddenly we can't put our posters up the same way. So I think that that's more the problem. And I do think like a lot of the emphasis is on how technology's affecting children, but I think it's all of us. It's not like you turn 18 and you're not suicidal or lonely or, you know. So I do think books, in the U.S., they found that young adults preferred physical books because they said they could share them with their friends and go, here's a good book. And you can't do that with an e-book. So I think that people forget books are technology themselves. Mm. And they've been around for hundreds of years. So the Gutenberg Bible type books are, you know, have been honed. And perhaps, you know, the technology we have will also become more human into the future.
And that was actually a topic that we discussed at the panel discussion over at the Sharjah Children's Reading Festival, is that when you're turning over that page, or when you're even finishing a book, it's a sense of achievement that you get with a physical book that you don't really get when you're reading off an iPad.
Or also owning it. Like,
exactly.
You know, if a child has money and they buy their first book and it's a book they love. And I mentioned in a picture book, the turning of the pages is a rhythm that's intrinsic to the story when you write it. And people don't think of it, but when you write it, you have to think, where does the turn come? And so that's built into reading it. And then when you're sliding through an electronic book, you can kind of lose that. Mm.
I want to touch on the writing process, especially regarding the Lowriders in Space novels. when you're talking about sensitive topics like the environment, like climate change, or other cultures that you're not fully immersed in, do you guys feel responsibility to include those sensitive topics to make sure that the children who are reading them are kind of learning but also open-minded about those conversations?
Definitely, but I'll talk about some political stuff. In 2016, when Donald Trump was elected, first he did the Muslim ban, and then he did rounding up Latinx people with the ICE, and so that definitely affected our book. I mean, we were like, our people are being targeted, and we need to speak to that. And so by doing that, obviously there's some people that won't read our books, but I think that that's something that we feel passionate about, especially for human rights. Mm-hmm. So,
touching on those important topics, those big messages as well. Now, lastly, a lot of people and a lot of listeners will be listening to us and thinking, okay, you know, Sharjah Children's Reading Festival is there. You guys are wonderful guests of the program. What is the best time or the age to get children accessible to books? When should they start reading the books? And what should we do at home to encourage the spirit of reading?
Well, absolutely. You can begin reading books to your child right away, from the moment they are born.
Wow.
Up to the kindergarten, first grade, and beyond. Mm. But that moment that you can sit your child in your lap and flip through a book is such an important moment, not just in creating a bondness with your child, but in getting them interested in the rhythm of words, in the beauty of images.
And I'll add something. As a librarian, we also say it doesn't even have to be books. It can be storytelling, because not everybody's literate, and also storytelling comes from your family. And it's that passing of stories, that interaction between people. Mm-hmm. They've discovered if kids aren't reading at the right level by third grade, that's when the deficit starts in terms of, like, literacy is a crucial tool now. We live in an information world. So there's a big drive to get kids reading, you know, at the level they should be. And that includes when kids are on break during school breaks, to make sure they have lots of books around, because they lose that reading ability if they don't. And then when they start school, they have to kind of backtrack. So in the United States, like over summer breaks, there's been big pushes to visit the library, to have books delivered to daycare centers and things like that.
I would also say that for teenagers and for middle school students, if they don't want to read a book, sometimes you could get them to read by having them watch a program that's in a different language. Mm-hmm. And I know that my son really loves anime, and he's constantly reading because he's needing to read the translation.
Wow. Okay.
And it stimulates the brain.
It does.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
And I think a lot of children, when their parents are reading to them, they don't really care what they're reading. It's all about just spending time with each other. You know, it is, as you said, perfectly their role. It's a bonding experience.
Bonding. It really is.
Certainly has been, and this was a wonderful bonding experience for us with our guests from Sharjah Children's Reading Festival as well. And thank you very much for both of you, Raoul and Kathy, for joining us here on our live program discussing all things Power of Reading and, of course, Lowriders series. And we look forward to seeing you back again here in the UAE.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much.
Our books are also going to be at the festival if people are interested in them.
Perfect. Brilliant. There you go.
This is Pulse 95. Tune in live every weekday from 7 a.m.